All right, everybody, welcome to an episode of Locked On NHL. On today's episode, the Boston Bruins, obviously having a historic season thus far, but just what if? What if they don't win at all? Is this going to be a failure of a season? All that and then some. Time to let the Denker dogs out. Locked On NHL.
For Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making this your first listen of the day. That's always appreciated. He is Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. I'm Chris Maselli from the Locked On Avalanche podcast. And on today's episode, we're going to get into Tony DeAngelo and his spearing incidents against Denker's Tampa Bay Lightning and some injuries. One in particular that just happened that they announced Kirill Kaprizov will be out 3 to 4 weeks. So we're going to talk about that too and how that affects the Minnesota Wild going forward for the rest of the season. But we're going to start at the top. And at the top is the Boston Bruins. Obviously, they started the season off hot and have not cooled off at all. And they are on a historic run. Currently they sit at 49-8-5. That's 103 points through 62 games. The stats are just gaudy. I mean, you look at the difference in goal, 105. They're plus 105 for the difference. The next closest, if I have this right, let me go to conference here. I'm going to split it up by that is Carolina at 58. It's crazy what they're doing. So first of all, like, did you think that they would have some like chink in the armor at some point during the season? Did you really expect them to continue to play the way that they have basically all season? Now we got a month left in the year. Like, come on.
No,
yeah, you thought at some point it was going to like they would come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, they started off so good, but you didn't think that they could continue this pace, but they have.
Yeah, it is really, you know, love them or hate them, you got to admire what they've done this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, 100 points already, and we still got a little ways to go. And just looking at their schedule, I mean, they're currently, as we record this episode, they're winning 1-0 right now against Edmonton at home.
Okay.
And then they got two straight matchups against Detroit. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to say smooth sailing, but I guess compared to how the Bruins have played, you know, it looks like it's almost smooth sailing for the rest of the season for them. I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody really thought they could keep up this pace and you know, we were going to, I think we said it multiple times throughout the course of the season, Chris, where age is going to catch up to them or they're going to come back down to earth, you know, one or the other. And they just haven't. I mean, it's unbelievable and downright just gross what they're doing.
So, I hate to do this now. I mean, cause we're in, you know, middle or beginning of March and, you know, you still have a month plus a week or so of the regular season to go. But we can play this game. This is kind of what we do. And you kind of like look ahead and look to the playoffs. And yes, the Bruins are doing what they're doing. Very impressive. But we've talked before. I'm sure you've talked about it on your show. You host a show of an East Coast team. And even us West Coast teams are talking about what's going on in the East. And there's just so many good teams. Let's just play the guessing game. And if they don't, let's say they don't even make it to the Stanley Cup final, right? Because anything can, we always say that, like the parity in the NHL is unmatched in other sports. It's, you know, the toughest trophy to win. And when you look at the East Coast, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially this year. And as head and shoulders above as they are of everybody else, it still wouldn't surprise me if they get knocked off, not because like of any faults of their own. There's just that many good teams, and it's a gauntlet that you're running through on the East Coast. So we'll start there. We'll start like, if they don't make the Stanley Cup final, do you look at that as like, that's a failure? Or do you look at that as, well, they had to go through the East Coast, which is very difficult to do?
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. I think you just look at the East, and we spoke about it at the deadline, just how many teams improved. The Rangers, Carolina picking up pieces here and there as well. The Penguins, just you can never count them out. The Islanders picked up Horvat. I mean, the list goes on, really. Sure. And at the same time, I mean, we always say it, and you know, I'm going to use my guys as an example. I mean, it's impossible to keep up the pace. We saw it in 2019, what happened to the Lightning that season. They picked up 128 season points that year and also tied for the most wins in a single season. So, you know, it's hard, the daily grind of an 82-game season in the NHL. I would not be surprised if they get bounced in the first round. And that's not just wishful thinking. I think that's just a logical and rational way to look about it. I mean, look last year. Mm-hmm. President's Trophy winners, the Florida Panthers.
It hasn't happened in a while, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when is really the last time, and I'm sure we're going to get a ton of comments on this, but when is really the last time a President's Trophy team, or even a team that has dominated like this, gone on to really, you know, win the Stanley Cup? I mean, it's definitely happened, but it's been quite some time for sure.
I'm efforting right now to see when the last time that was.
I mean, this isn't like the 70s anymore. I mean, because we're going to talk about it, but the Canadians have the most points ever. The 70s Canadians and 132, and you know, those teams were a juggernaut, but you know, the NHL was a different landscape back then.
So the last time it happened, it's only happened 8 times where the President's Trophy winner has gone on to win the Stanley Cup. The last time it happened was the 12-13 Chicago Blackhawks. So it's been 10 years since it's happened.
And what was the last time before that, Chris?
Before that was the 07-08 Red Wings. Before that was the 01-02 Red Wings. Before that was the 2000-2001 Avalanche. So it actually happened 98-99, 2000-2001, 2001-2002. So those are 3 times right there of the 8.
Yeah.
So it's more recent than anything else, but it just doesn't happen a lot. And when you hear that a lot about teams, like they really, sure, it's a good achievement, but when teams do it, all of them say the same thing, and they know that stat. You know, I had to go look it up, but they all know that it doesn't mean anything. So sure, like you go out there to play to win every single game. You're not out there to win specifically the President's Trophy. Yeah, it looks nice on the resume, and the franchise likes it, but you still have a long way to go once you get that. And that's what I'm at. Like, they're on their way to that. They're not going to slow down because they don't want to get the President's Trophy and what that means, right? But if they do, and even knowing that only 8 teams have done it, I think it's more the totality of the season in terms of like, if they get, forget the President's Trophy, they're going to get that.
Yeah.
What if they get the most points in a season by a team, which is, what would you say it was, 131 or 132?
Yeah.
What if they get that? Like, that's something that doesn't happen. There's a President's Trophy winner every single year.
Yeah.
There's not a team that gets 133 points ever. So what if they get that and then fit? Like, I think that is a failure, if you ask me. If you're all of a sudden the team that's now you're at the top of NHL history and you don't win a Stanley Cup. That to me is like the Golden State Warriors of beating the Chicago Bulls record of most wins in a season and not winning the NBA Finals. You're not considered the best team of all time. If the Bruins do both, if they get most points ever and win the Stanley Cup, we are having that discussion. Is this the best team of all time? You've put up that resume. Definitely.
Yeah.
If they don't, you kind of have to look at it as a failed season because you can't have the most points ever in this sport, in the rich history of this sport. And you have the most points of regular season ever, even though you got 2 more games, right? Because you said that the Canadians, when they did that, only played 80.
Yeah, back in the day, they only played 80 games.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think? Do you think it would be a failure?
You know, the Lightning fan in me wants to say yes, but, you know, really, the hockey fan in me says, you know, I don't think so. You know, I mean, we see it every year with these President's Trophy teams, especially ones that, you know, play at that high level. I mean, you can't do it. And you said, yeah, it happened. It hasn't been that wild. But Chris, I mean, you look at those teams, you know, other than your Avalanche that won the President's Trophy and then won the Cup. What do those teams have in common?
You know, right.
Yeah, they had a young core. And that's the thing, you know, this Boston Bruins team was supposed to have sort of a slippage of a year because of, you know, the age of certain players on their team.
Yeah.
I just don't think with that age group, and maybe I'm overplaying it just a little bit, but, you know, age does matter to a certain extent in hockey. You know, we could talk about all the unicorn players and Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. You know, we could talk about those guys in terms of being unicorns and ageless, but at the end of the day, that's going to catch up with you. You know,
it's
a different story, as we all know. And, you know, you can't really compare the intensity of a regular season game to a playoff series.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no. You know, if they get knocked out or don't win a cup, I'm not going to look at it as a failure. I'm just going to say, you know, all right.
And if they get most points in history?
Yeah, if they get the most points in history and don't win a cup, I wouldn't look at it as a failure. I would just look at it as, you know, every team is bound to run out of gas at some point.
Yeah, but the fact that they didn't throughout the entire regular season, and then if they do in the playoffs, man, like, you got to wonder, like, okay, that's crazy. How did that happen? Like, you had 82 games with this aged roster, and then in the playoffs you fold. Like, I don't know.
I think if they lose in the conference finals, I think we could look at it as, you know, great season and, you know, not a failure. But yeah, I mean, second,
you know,
round, yeah, one can make the case for a failure if they do.
I would say anything short of making the Stanley Cup final. If they make the Stanley Cup final, then there is a success to that season. Doesn't matter on both sides. It doesn't matter. Like, you made the Stanley Cup final. Sure, you want to win it, but I can't consider, and I think that's for every sport. If you make the championship game, that's a successful season. If you win it, that's the ultimate. That's exactly what you want. So I think for the Bruins, for them to feel like it's actually to go as far as you can go is the final. And I don't know. I just feel, because last year we were talking about the Avalanche team from last year with you know, the salary cap and the, just, you know, how free agents just flow back and forth, what they did last year, you know, 120 points I think they had for the season, and then they lost four times in the playoffs. We were talking about that as that is an incredible run, which we might not see again.
Yeah.
And the next year the Bruins are on the verge of potentially doing that, but it's going to be a lot harder because they're in the East. If they were in the West, you got the Avalanche and maybe Vegas to deal with, maybe Dallas, and that's it. But it's going to be a fun ride to watch what happens in the East. The Bruins are smack dab in the middle of that. If they run through the East, like the Avalanche ran through the West last playoffs, man, we are talking an all-time team here.
It's Chris, crazy. Are they the greatest team in American sports history if they just sweep the entire playoffs?
You know what? We'll have that episode after the Stanley Cup is over. Then we'll discuss it. I have to sit on that. I have to sit with my feelings on that one. All right, let's move on. We're gonna hear from FanDuel, and then we're gonna hear about your team. Something that happened to your team. Was it fair? Was it foul? Was it a good enough suspension? We'll talk about that. But first, we got FanDuel, and we are beyond the midway point of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything from the money line, two-point scores, or three-pointers drained. How about you? You got any bets going on for tonight? Put any scratch down on anything?
I got a couple of props for the Lightning game. You know, the Lightning, I won't go into details, but the Lightning need to go off in the third period.
So you're betting on them going off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet for up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right. So the other day in the game between your Tampa Bay Lightning and who is this again? I'm blanking on Philly, right? Yeah, against the Flyers. Tony D'Angelo, in his infinite wisdom, decided to spear the well-liked Corey Perry and right in the nether regions. And we all knew a suspension and likely a fine was coming, or a fine and likely a suspension, I should say. And that's what happened. They suspended him 2 games. Tampa Bay kind of took care of things on the ice. They kind of just like bulldozed him on the ice, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
Are you okay with the suspension? And I want to get your take on it because this happened to your team, right? So, yeah. Sometimes when something happens to a guy on a team that we cover, or we like, we kind of want the book to be thrown at the other guy.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, it's weird because it happened to Corey Perry, who is not all that well liked. But I think for this case, people kind of feel bad for him because if you're a guy and you've been hit there, I don't care how much you hate a guy, you kind of feel bad for him. And I kind of did for Corey Perry. So what do you think? Like, was this enough? Should it have been more? What's your take?
I think we could all agree, that the action itself was definitely excessive, regardless of whose team it was against. I mean, mm-hmm. I get, I'm one for, a little bit of a scrum after the whistle and all of that. I would have understood if, maybe, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt, Chris, when that all went down in live, I figured, okay, maybe he left, or because he was skating over there and, a little bit of a back and forth kind of ensued. And I would have figured, okay, maybe he got pushed back and his stick went up. But, the replay tells it all. He just intentionally went over there and gave him a little bit of a how you doing, right on the family jewels.
The old hidey-ho.
And you know what? I'm not surprised. If it was anybody else on the Flyers, I probably would have been surprised.
So in that's terms my question, of the, though, like because it's Tony D'Angelo, you're not surprised he did something like this.
No, in the game of hockey these days in the NHL, if it's anybody other than Brad Marchand, Tom Wilson, and Tony D'Angelo, I think I would be a little surprised with that action. For the punishment, I don't think it's enough. I just feel like, and this goes for any type of action like that, and if it was a Lightning player, I'd feel the same exact way in terms of punishment. I just feel like 2 games and a 50 grand fine, it's not enough.
Was that what it was? I actually never even looked at the they'd fined him $50,000 for that.
So I looked it up, Chris, and this is how it works. So
I've never seen
this. This is from the CBA rules. So a fine may be in the amount up to 50% of the player's salary and bonuses, but not including performance bonuses, divided by the number of days in the regular season, but in no event shall it exceed 10,000. But I think also because I'm pretty sure this wasn't his first suspension, they took that into, because we always hear that, there's always... This isn't his first suspension or incident and all that stuff. And they do. Does the disciplinary action office take that into account? I don't think they do, because I feel like if they really did, he would have gotten more than two games. I just feel at the end of the day, Chris, I just feel like 2 games in the span of an 82 game season, if a player does something like that, I would have been fine if it was like maybe 4. And then he also gets a fine. But I mean, where do we get to the point to where the punishment is too excessive,
This is just more of the NHL just throwing cards up in the air or throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks in terms of fines. Because yeah. there's no rhyme or reason to how they decide. For money, there is. That's all in the collective bargaining right. agreement. Like if you get called for something and there's a defined dollar amount for if they're going to fine you. For suspension, there's not. And you always hear the thing of like, oh, he has a history. Well, I don't want to hear the he has history thing anymore yeah. because that's so up in the air too. Because does Tony D'Angelo have a history? You bet your buddy does. And he got two games yeah. now. And that's for the regular season. Now, something us Avalanche fans on that still have not forgiven the NHL for is Nazem Kadri being suspended 8 games in the playoffs,
yeah.
which he should have been suspended, but 8 playoff games for his hit in the St. Louis Blues series.
Yeah.
That was to this day, we are scratching our head and there has been nothing. There has been no suspension that's even come close to that. And we're talking about regular season games. So a guy who has a history
yeah,
and does this, you're giving 2 games. But Nazem Kadri, who was a good boy for about 1.5 years, and I know that's not really saying much, but still he was, you gave him 8 games in the playoffs, which is essentially, you know, 2 series basically is what you suspended him for. And let's also rewind about a week or so ago when Keandre Miller gets suspended 3 games for spitting. So spitting on someone is more egregious than some, and Keandre Miller doesn't really have a history. He's still young in the league. He doesn't have as much history as Tony D'Angelo does. And we're going to give him 3 games compared to deliberately spearing a guy in his manhood. 2 games. I want to say I'm speechless, but I just went on a rant.
Let me just put things in perspective. Tom Wilson, mm-hmm. remember that whole incident with the Rangers?
With Artemi Panarin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He only got a $5,000 fine.
Exactly.
For that. I agree with you. I just think that the powers that be just make it up as they go along. I just think that, you know, I don't think it's going to get to this point, but I, mm-hmm. you know, we could play the what if game. You know, it's going to get to a certain point to where players, or if it hasn't already, players are not afraid to get suspended. You know,
because it's not going to be very long.
And it's 2 games. I mean, that's a blink of an eye in an NHL season, really. I just think that there needs to be some other disciplinary action other than fining them. I mean, look at Brad Marchand. What is his career findings? It's got to be like in the millions at this point. But I mean, really, I feel like in a situation like that where they need to have like 3 tiers, I feel like they have to have some sort of system what Major League Baseball has with steroid use. You know, one, I think the first offense is 25 games or something mm-hmm. like that. They need to have something like that. Now, I'm not saying guys should be banned after 3 strikes, but there mm-hmm. should be some sort of tier where, and also, you know, they need to determine, was there malintent, you know, was it just excessive force in terms of a guy trying to lay a hit in the corner and he just goes a little high and the guy's head bounces off the glass? You know, there needs to be some sort of discretionary,
right.
You know, judgment there. I just think that after, you know, like you said, Keandre Miller only getting 3 games for spitting. And then, you know, obviously D'Angelo only getting 2 for tapping Corey Perry in an area none of us would love to. mm-hmm. I just feel like there needs to be some sort of dialogue between the players union and the league to figure out a middle ground to where it makes sense. Because in the end, Chris, we always talk about this, and I feel like it always, with every issue in the NHL, it goes back to building the game. Fans, I mean, we're not going to lose fans over this, but it's going to cause a lot of fans to be turned off to where, you know, you're not going to get that extra night of viewership because, mm-hmm. you know, between refs making stupid calls here and there, or missing calls entirely, and the league not punishing players adequately, it's going to cause a lot of headaches for the league. And, mm-hmm. and as well as, you know, it's viewership.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, how is Corey Perry? Did he miss any extra time over that?
No, he's back in it today.
He's all right.
Sat down, big bag of ice on the lap, and he's good to go.
Steel. He's made of steel. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting. So, all right, the last bit of info we want to get to is just came out that Kirill Kaprizov of the Minnesota Wild, he's out 3 to 4 weeks, and that is a bad time to be out 3 to 4 weeks with a I think it was a lower body injury, from what I remember. That hurts. That's not what they need right now. Where are we with the Wild? Let me get to their division just to make sure we got the updated standings here. So right now, as it sits, they are in second in the Central. They are tied with points with Dallas. Dallas has one game in hand on them. The Avs have three games in hand on Minnesota. I mean, they're sitting nice for a playoff spot, right? But is this going to be one of those things where Minnesota is like dragging to the finish line? I don't think a playoff spot is in jeopardy for them. And he should be coming back, you know, right towards the end of the season. But how much does this hurt them in terms of seeding within the division and in the conference?
I mean, it's going to affect them. Definitely the seeding is going to be an issue. I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of alluded to it a little bit, I think, on my show earlier today. You know, this kind of opens up the door with what's going on with you guys. I think this is the best break the Avalanche could have had with Kirill Kaprizov getting hurt. Like you said, it's not going to hold them out for the playoffs, but I think it's going to mess with them. You know, I think in the end, Wild fans should be more worried about their team getting into a funk. He does lead the team in points and in goals. And when you, the drop off in terms of points is
pretty big,
15,
really
second. Yeah. You know, it's him at 74 and then Zuccarello at 59. So, wow. You know, it's a bit, you're talking about your main source of production, not being in the building for you, for quite some time. And, you know, you said 3 to 4 weeks, that, you know, that's a lifetime. Especially at this point in the season where really, Chris, you know, I've been talking about it on my show for the longest time. And, you know, this should be the mindset of every playoff team or team that is in contention. You are not only getting, you're not only finishing up games and trying to play well and finishing up the season, you're getting ready for the playoffs. This is where you get ready for the playoffs, not the day before game one. This is where you get ready.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the Wild are going to be able to get ready because, you know, also he comes back, he could very well be rusty.
Yeah, for a little bit, because you don't know exactly what part of the lower body it is. So, right. Yeah, I mean, he might need a game or two. So they are lucky that he should be coming back to get those rusty games. I don't even think rusty games. Maybe a rusty game. Maybe a rusty period. Who knows at that stage in the game. But depending on what the injury is, it could be something that he's got to, like, work the kinks out. And in that aspect, they are lucky. They are lucky. But I am wondering, like, where is this going to hurt? Because I'm looking at the stats. You brought up Zuccarello. You know, they have guys that can score, obviously, Eriksson Ek. Although Zuccarello is second in points on the team, Eriksson Ek is second in goals.
Yeah.
So you can get him. Boldy can score. You have a – like, it's, they seem very – like, most teams are very top-heavy in what they can score. But, man, like, removing him – That takes a lot of scoring power out of your team, and they don't have a lot of guys who can pick up that slack. That's where it's going to be interesting. They need goaltending.
The unfortunate thing is that they were playing very well in their last 10, 8-0-2, tied with Dallas in points, obviously behind on points percentage. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, your guys are right behind them. Winnipeg is knocking on the door. I mean, yep. I'm a Wild fan. I'm sweating because I mean, it's not gonna cost you a playoff spot, but still, I mean, when you don't have your top guy in the lineup for those last couple of weeks, I mean, you're gonna feel it 100%. You're right.
Yeah. So We shall see. For now, that is going to wrap it up for today and the Thursday episode of Locked On NHL. Thank you guys for tuning in and making this your first listen of the day. There was just a lot going on. We didn't really get to any power rankings, which you normally do on Thursday, but we'll probably bring those back for next week. Until then, we'll see you guys next week. He's Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. I'm Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week.